Hello everyone, my name is Ryu and I work here in Microsoft as lead partner technical consultant, and I'm going to talk about how you can manage SQL Server using Visual Studio 2010. So create a project to create your tables, store procedure, views and modify them and get the benefit of Visual Studio in terms of refactoring. Let's say you want to rename a column and there will be cascading effects. For those, this kind of changes, and then how you want to manage that and create a script to be deployed finally. So let's just jump into my Visual Studio. Open my Visual Studio, and then before I jump into the Visual Studio, I'll also open my SQL Server just to show you what is the current status over there so that we can actually go ahead and manage the database. So if I now go ahead and point out to my SQL Server R2 database, it's showing me the available databases NotWind and NotWind New. Let me create a new database which will, that's a blank database, okay? So NW underscore new, if I say okay, and then go ahead and then my blank database has been created. In my Visual Studio, now I'll go ahead and say new project and choose the SQL Server Database Wizard. So it comes under Database SQL Server and SQL Server Database Wizard. If I choose OK, this will create the project but will give me some option initially to choose from. So I'll choose Next. I will choose a database project to manage changes user defined database. Next. I'll leave it like that, next, and then I say import existing schema. So I'll choose a database which is already there, which is not been new, let's suppose, and then I choose next. Once I choose next, it shows me whether I want to create a script or I create a script and then deploy it to the database. Let's just leave it to the script level and then say finish. And then it will create the whole project for me. Project is getting created. Now I say finish. I'll get to see my Solution Explorer getting populated, right? And it shows me what are the schemas I have. And if I want to also see what is there inside my schema, I can go ahead and switch to the view of schema view and then open all my tables. Now in the categories, I can see category ID is one of them. Now let's suppose I want to rename this to something different. So I'll choose to have refactor rename, and then instead of category ID, I would like love to have that as cat ID, right? So I say okay. So now category ID is cat ID and getting reflected in many places. For example, this constraint creation statement, and where I have got a sales by category store procedure, and then it is also matching with the products category, with the categories category, so it is changing over there. So everywhere within my database, wherever this category ID is associated with any query for the categories table are getting replaced. Not the word category, but the related category. Like I have got a category ID column also present in the products table, which is nothing but a foreign key. It is not changing over there. It is only changing within the categories table for that category ID. Now I say apply. All the changes will happen in a script level and stay there for me. Now if I just explore this categories, and I'll be able to see that it's being changed to category ID. Now I've got a great tool to compare between the two schemas. I can have two databases and check whether those schemas are identical. I can have one database project and one existing database to compare the schema. For example, I can go ahead and say data, and everything one for this database project comes mostly under the data menu. So you say new schema comparison. Once you do that new schema comparison, you say that this is the project I'm looking for, and then this is the new database I'm kind of targeting into. So I don't have that database, new database connected. So I'll say new connection. I said dot SQL 2010. 2008, and then I go ahead and say not to renew. I say okay, and then this time I say compare this. I'll build a report for me which will actually give me that output. So it is saying that nothing is there because NW new is kind of blank, which I just now have created. So it's saying that all of them will be created, right? You can just view it and then find out what should be created. Now it will also create the log, so let's just leave that log because it is using not in log while it will stop you to create. So you can skip it. So basically what you want to be created, you can go ahead and choose that. What you want to be skipped, you can choose to have skipped. Now once you do that, remember this, my NotFluent NW underscore new does not have any tables apart right now, any user defined tables. So you go ahead and say that write updates to the target schema. Once you do that, it says yes. Now it gets updated, right? So what happens now if you go back to your SQL Server and just quickly do a refresh to the database you are targeting, now you get to see all the tables are being created, right, from your project which you have modified. That means under the category you will find a column called cat ID, right, not the category ID. So this is how you create a blank database. Now you can also create some dummy data. For example, if you are doing some load testing kind of scenario and you want to load up a lot of values to your grid, you want to ensure that grid is full of some data. May not be the data is not relevant to you. So you can go ahead and do some sort of data generation plan. So you can actually go ahead and right click in this and then say add new data generation plan. So once you do this, it will ask you what you want to do, right? That means let's say I want to create my new data generation plan, and then it gives you an option to choose from. So let's suppose I want to insert some 50 rows to my categories table, and then I can go choose to remove certain tables which I'm not interested in. So I'll just go ahead and remove them. Once tables are associated, they don't allow you to remove. For example, I want to remove categories but leave the product, right? It's showing me some blockage. So include the designation because foreign key reference. So it is just giving me some sort of idea where I want to do. Now in the products table, I want to increase it to 5,000 rows. Some dummy data will be generated. If I say save it and right click in this data generation plan, okay, and then go to data, data generator, I say generate data. Once I do this, it'll ask me to choose a database. So let's suppose I want to put it to NW underscore new and then say okay. So it says delete. Yes, go ahead and delete it. Now it'll keep on adding values to my tables. Now you can see that all the related tables I have added are being added here. Now I can actually go ahead and do a query. So once you do the query, you won't be able to read the data, but data will be there at least with the following the standard. So what happens over here is this: if you say select count star from products, and then if you hit F5, it'll give you the number. Now, for our curiosity purpose, if we just say select star from products and hit F5, you'll get to see some data coming up over here, right? Not so relevant, but it's still the data, right, you are looking for. So and also in this kind of project, you can get the every feel which you get from a Visual Studio perspective. For example, you want to analyze your code. You run the fxcop rule. So you go to properties, okay, and then choose code analysis. Code analysis, under that you choose Microsoft design, naming convention, performance, and then you say enable code generation. Fine. You just save it and then execute that, rebuild the solution. So once you rebuild the solution, it will give you some output. And let's view the error window if there is any. Okay, I find 57 warnings, right? I didn't follow some standard and blah 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 stuff. So all of them are actually appearing over it, just like your any other Visual Studio window. There is one very important part of this kind of database project is that your property. It shows you a list of properties. It shows the database SQL setting. So the setting which you do, whether that collation and etc., you set it over here. You can actually say database SQL permissions. So SQL permissions will come up over here. You can also choose to have the deployment option. So what do you want to do if you want to choose the deployment? SQL, also there are some variables which you use during your deployment. So those kind of variables are being set over here. Now if you just right click and go to properties, you can also choose to have your deployment option. If you remember that initially we didn't have that deployment option set. So if I go ahead and choose instead of script, I choose the deploy to the database. I can actually target the little database, which is my local database endpoint, to that, and then say deploy it, and it will deploy to that database, and it will use two files, that is the SQL deployment and SQL CMD pairs. Now you can actually go ahead and edit them from over here as well. Now this gives you a lot of opportunity to manage your database and more effectively. You can also compile their application in terms of to check whether everything is fine or not, and it will actually give you that output. Apart from your effects scope rule, you can do intelligent replacement, for example, which I showed you in that. You can attach it to your source control as well. So if you want to add it to the source control and then keep track of all your changes, do some intelligent history, you can also do that. Hope you have enjoyed and you'll use this. This is a fantastic product to work with. Have a great day. Bye-bye.